Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Nation, welcome to the program. Now, you've all heard about the Ground Zero Mosque, and you've been hearing about it for 2 days now. You also know that the half-Muslim president made a gigantic error by showing his true colors and flying the flag of, let us say, secular Islam. For the sake of argument, let us say that Obama is a well-meaning president. Let us say the fact that his father is a Muslim makes no difference than if one's father were Hindu and there was an issue to do with India. Or if one's father were Jewish and it was an issue to do with Israel, you wouldn't look any further than that and say, well, it's his decision. And you could say that he believes that most Muslims are moderate and that the mosque should be supported and that it's just like a church and it's just like a synagogue, but you'd be wrong if you did. And the reason you would be wrong if you did is because history would not support your position. Now, all day long, you have heard about the Ground Zero Mosque. You have heard that Obama, Hamas, and Bloomberg all agree on the Ground Zero Victory Mosque. That's right. It's strange that Hamas and a Jewish mayor, Bloomberg, happen to agree on one thing, and that's that a victory mosque should be built at Ground Zero. Very, very interesting how liberal humanism has failed when it has come face-to-face against radical Islam. Liberal secular humanism, as you well know, is the religion of state. Although they say that we want a separation of church and state, and they keep repeating it with the vermin in the ACLU hawking that over and over again, the fact is there is a state religion. It's called liberal humanism. And this weak religion, which does not believe in God, has utterly failed us in the war against radical Islam. Now, you may say that this has nothing to do with radical Islam. You may say that the mosque at Ground Zero is simply another house of worship. And that you may say, I agree with Barack Obama when he says that we must have religious freedom and that Muslims have the same right to build a mosque wherever they wish and practice wherever they wish on private property. Well, I would say that would be fair the day that they permit a church to be built in Saudi Arabia. The day that they permit a church or a synagogue to be built anywhere in Saudi Arabia would be a day I might believe anything that Obama says about Islam. But more particularly, let me ask the president this. Would he think that a trade might be in place where he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to speak to King Saud, and I'm going to ask him, I don't carry kings around in my head. The king of Saudi Arabia, since they're on first-person terms, as you remember, the president was given some bling by the king of Saudi Arabia a few years ago, something he enjoys very much, the big gold chain. He must wear it in the privacy of his own home, whatever. But since that day, I'm sure they've been in touch. So let me ask you something. Can he call up his good friend, the king of Saudi Arabia, and say there's a big hullabaloo here in my country about building a mosque so close to Ground Zero? Can you please authorize the construction of a church two blocks away from the site of the Hajj? Can you please authorize the construction of a synagogue two blocks away from the site of the Hajj? Because, after all, it's a new world order. After all, we're no longer living in the Middle Ages. After all, we know that it's a new world. And so, therefore, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you're wrong on every account. Now, since you have been hearing about this from the morning until now, and you cannot read about it in most newspapers because they've covered it up in order to make certain that the world goes on in ignorance, I'm going to do something that has not yet been done with regard to the Ground Zero Mosque. And I am going to disclose for the first time in the American media the five victory mosques that have been built around the world on the sites of other religions after the Muslims have conquered the previous inhabitants of the area. I hope you understand what I just said to you. Let's begin with the most obvious, the things you may know about. The Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is said to be one of the holiest sites in Islam. Apparently every site is holy to Islam, but it's actually the holiest site in Judaism because that's where the original Jewish temple was built. And it was destroyed by the Romans. And when the Muslims conquered the area, what was built on top of the Holy Temple? It was a mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque was built on top of one of the holiest sites in Judaism, the Temple Mount. When the Crusaders captured Jerusalem in 1099, they used the mosque as a palace and church, but its function as a mosque was restored after its recapture by Saladin. So for the simplistic reasons of history, and for those idiots amongst us who do not know their history and are going to be condemned to repeat it, I will continue with the other mosques that were built on other religious sites after the Muslims conquered that particular culture. There are quite a few others. Some you may know. Do you know about the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years in what is now known as Turkey? You don't know about that. It was a great church. If you go to Turkey, you look into a mosque, and you say, my God, this is gorgeous. Wow. Those Muslims sure know how to build. But in fact, it was a Christian church for 1,000 years. Did you know that? Large cathedral, seat of the Patriarch of Constantinople, religious focal point of the Eastern Orthodox Church for nearly 1,000 years. In 1453, Constantinople conquered by the Ottoman Turks, and a sultan ordered the building to be converted into a mosque. The bells, the altar, and sacrificial vessels, Christian symbols, by the way, were removed, and many of the Christian mosaics were plastered over by the Muslim conquerors. The Islamic features that you now see, such as the four minarets outside, were added to the church over the course of its history under the Ottomans. What you may not know, and which is an interesting twist on history, is that this building remained a mosque until 1935, when it was converted into a museum by the Secularist Republic of Turkey. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Turkey had remained secularist? Because it was quite an advanced nation. Many of you don't know, and correct me if I am mistaken, but Turkey was the first nation in the world to grant women suffrages, the women the right to vote. They preceded us in this. Turkey was so advanced, despite all of their horrors, including the Armenian Holocaust, the Turks granted women the right to vote before we did here in America, I believe. But that was then, this is now. Turkey has now become slightly radicalized and is going more and more in that direction. Let us continue with our list of victory mosques around the world, whether it be the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Hagia Sophia in Turkey. I will give you the rest when I return in the Savage Nation, because I want you to understand that building a mosque after you have conquered a certain territory, in this case they have conquered Lower New York, is really not an anomaly. It's part of the tradition. This is something that you would expect a genius billionaire like Bloomberg to know. But then again, as you well know, Bloomberg has proven one thing, if he's proven anything, which is that a billionaire can be a big, stupid moron. I shall return.
Savage.
As a citizen, and as president, I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. And that includes the right to build a place of worship and a community center on private property in Lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, he backtracked on that. Would the president back the construction of a monument to the kamikaze pilots who struck Pearl Harbor if it were on private property in Honolulu? Would the president back such a maneuver without understanding the pain it would cause for the grandchildren and other descendants of those who died at Pearl Harbor? I don't know. It's hard to say what he might back. After all, He's suddenly become a conservative. He believes in property rights, which is very interesting for a president who's such a socialist and such a power grabber that he believes in private property rights. But you know it's all a lie. It's all a sham. Let's look at the ACLU. How many sites in America have seen, let us say, the Ten Commandment monuments ripped down and destroyed because of vermin from NYU and the ACLU who have said that it violates the separation of church and state? Now, I realize this is not exactly the same thing, but you do understand that we see not only a double but a quadruple standard here. It's worse than a quadruple bypass on America's heartland. What Obama has done to us here is clearly a blessing from God. I told you a while ago that it wouldn't be long before this man, who was so egotistical that he would give himself away. He has gotten so arrogant in office. He is so disconnected from the office of the presidency that he thinks he can say one thing and do another and no one will notice it, because that is what he has been used to for his entire life. He is not only a naked Marxist, which I have pointed out to you at least 1 year prior to anybody else in the media, but he is beyond a naked Marxist. I did a psychological profile of the president, and I talked about his narcissism prior to his being elected to the presidency. That's become almost common parlance amongst people who understand what narcissism is. It's been covered in great detail ever since. But I am telling you that this is the hand of God. The man spoke at a Ramadan dinner, which is not unusual in that Bush had a Ramadan dinner, to show you how far we have fallen as a nation, that secular humanism would not comprehend what they are doing here. And secular humanism is also the religion of the Bush presidencies, the two of them, as it has been now for, 20 years. We've had secular humanism for a long period of time in the White House, as you well know, as official state religion, attacking Christianity at every turn. Tooth and claw, ripping down Ten Commandment monuments, ripping crosses off war memorials, snapping crosses off Mount Davidson here in California, and now all of a sudden supporting the construction of a holy site to Muslims so close to Ground Zero, not recognizing the insult inherent in such a construction. I doubt it. They do know it's an insult. But again, you've heard all of this. And by the way, for those of you out there who say, oh, typical right-wing radio getting all emotional and excited over this, trying to capitalize on this, really, tell us about the excitement about Proposition 8 being overturned by one fetid, unconstitutional, fascistic judge. Tell me about the excitement throughout the left wing and the left wing blogosphere when one fetid, rotten, corrupt filth rag in a dirty black robe in San Francisco overturned the California Supreme Court, and I might add the votes of 7 million Californians to say, yes, gay marriage is okay, even though he knows he is violating not only the ballot initiative, but also the law itself. And tell me about the emotions that ran so high on the left at that particular maneuver by that particular filthy judge. So before you tell me not to get emotional or not to steam up the emotions, you know what I say? Don't tell it to me, because I'm not going to listen to you. If we don't get excited over a symbol as important as Ground Zero, tell me what we should get excited over. How many years has Pearl Harbor remained in the American psyche as a site of blasphemy in American history? A site where a Japanese sneak attack sank most of our fleet, Pacific Fleet, and killed approximately 3,000 American servicemen. And that became a monument, as you well know, the Pearl Harbor Memorial. Am I going to wake up tomorrow and see that the Japanese bought a piece of land in Pearl Harbor right next to the memorial and they want to build a memorial to the kamikaze pilots? You're telling me that that wouldn't provoke emotion in America? This is exactly the same thing. I don't need approval by you. I don't need approval by Time or Newsweek to tell you I'm right. You know I'm right. That's all that matters. And I'll compare my track record to any of these left-wing frontmen who'll tell you that I'm wrong. I've had 5 New York Times bestsellers in a row. My next book, Trickle Up Poverty, will be out October 5th. I didn't write it to get rich. I don't need the money. Most of it's going to go to charity at the end of the day anyway. I wrote that book, Trickle Up Poverty, which is available, by the way, for pre-orders on Amazon. And strangely enough, it went up to number 6 in political books over the weekend since I mentioned it Friday. I wrote Trickle Up Poverty to change the course of human history. I wrote that book as a human billboard so that you could hold up that book and the title alone. Think of it. whether it's one person holding up trickle-up poverty on a checkout line in a supermarket or 10,000 holding up the book and not saying one word at a Tea Party convention. Think of the power of one sentence. You know, as they say, what did they say? What's the saying? Is more powerful than a thousand what? And so as I say to you, trickle-up poverty tells the whole story of what this president has done to this country, but worse yet, what he is going to do to this country unless you turn him around in November, unless you throw out every Democrat. Now, look, I am not a big supporter of the fake Republican Party. I've told you that. There's four or five Republicans I absolutely worship. I don't have to mention them. Almost all of them are in the Southeast. They are hard-boiled right-wing conservatives. Certainly not conservative enough for me. And then there's a few others scattered here. By and large, the Republican Party is the Democrat Party light. And, of course, the new joke amongst Obamaites, they came up with a new slogan, which is that when you want to go forward in a car, you put the car into D. And when you want to go backwards, you put your car in R. Don't vote Republican or you'll be going backwards. Well, you know what, Mr. Obama? I want to go backwards. I want to take this country back to where it was before you inveigled your way into the White House. I want to see the country go back to 2008 so that we can go back even further to make certain that we don't go off the cliff altogether by going forward in false progressivism, Mr. Obama. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Again, there are victory mosques that stand as examples to elucidate what I'm trying to tell you. The Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israel. I mentioned the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years before the conquest of the area when it was turned into a mosque. I mentioned the Great Mosque of Cordoba, built in approximately AD 600 as a church by the Christians. And after the Muslims conquered the kingdom, the emir of the time converted the church, reworked it over 2 centuries into a mosque starting in 784. We'll go back to the Hindus. Did you know that they did this to the holiest site in Hinduism? You didn't know that the Muslims do this on holy sites? That's because you're a stupid, uneducated moron.
Savage.
We are reminded that Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity. And Ramadan is a reminder that Islam has always been a part of America. The first Muslim ambassador to the United States from Tunisia was hosted by President Jefferson, who arranged a sunset dinner for his guests because it was Ramadan, making it the first known iftar at the White House. More than 200 years ago.
He's not telling you, of course, that's after we conquered the Tunisian pirates. He had him over as his victory dinner. He, you know, leaves a few things out. Now, I believe in freedom of religion, certainly. But there's a sensitivity issue here that the president should be aware of and that he's not aware of. Certainly Muslims have a right to practice their religion in this great nation. Certainly they have a right to build a mosque on private property. This is America. But if they really wanted to heal the scar that was caused by their brethren, the radical Muslim factions within, wouldn't they be sensitive to public opinion in America? Wouldn't they want to see that the deep wound left on America's heart be healed rather than reopened? Moreover, the imam of this particular cultural center and mosque is quite an interesting character with quite a spurious background, if you actually look into it. You understand that. Now, why would the Pope have moved a proposed convent that was to have been constructed near the site of Auschwitz? Remember the outcry a number of years ago? I don't know how many years ago it is now. Auschwitz, the site of one of the death camps, where so many tens of thousands of Jews were gassed and tortured and killed. They were going to build a convent right near Auschwitz. Caused a great controversy, and the Pope, being a healer, understood the sensitivities to this, and he moved the convent away from Auschwitz. And that is because in this day and age, Christianity is a healing modern religion. And so for the proponents of the Ground Zero Mosque to dig their heels in shows us many, many things about their not only their intolerance, but they're something more than meets the eye. At least that's in the eyes of the 70 or some percent of Americans now who oppose the construction of the Ground Zero Mosque. Now, I recognize that secular humanists will disagree with me. The secular humanist believes not only in turning the cheek, but getting slapped until there's nothing left of their face. Bob in Akron, Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, this demonstrates to me what a brilliant man President Obama is, because he didn't fall into the trap that the people building this mosque wanted to snare him in. He came about spouting the greatest principles this country has to offer. All the Muslim world is going to see that this country lives by its constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is going to help our troops. Now, I know you went to Berkeley, and you were indicted to hate people in the military. But
Wait, hold. What did you just say?
So much.
Excuse me. You just said I hate people in the military?
I think anybody who goes to
Berkeley. How much money did I give to U.S. Marines who are falsely accused? Do you happen to know the answer to that question?
Michael, I think.
No, don't give me Michael. Don't you dare ever say that I hate the military, you vile, lying piece of garbage. How much money have you given to support the troops recently, Mr. Liberal?
Disguising yourself.
You shut your big trap, you lying rat. You work for the Obama administration. You lying rat bum, you. How dare you insult me? Who the hell do you think you are?
Chance.
Who the hell do you think you are, you little low-life apparatchik for the Democrats out of Cincinnati or Akron, Ohio? I know who you are. I can tell your type. I can tell your type, Akron Bob. Which low-life Democrat do you report to, Bob?
And you'll always be a commie, because you're gutless.
Listen, Bob, let me tell you something. You're a lifetime low-life Democrat socialist. You've always hated America. You always will hate America. When have you last been in a church, Bob?
Me.
And hey, Bob. Bob, shut your mouth, or I'm going to hang up on you. This is my show, not yours. When have you last been in a church, Bob?
You acted like a commie, though, don't you?
When have you last been in a church, Bob?
I was in a church Saturday, buddy.
You were in a church, and okay, good. So you're a religious man, is that correct?
Served in the United States.
I asked you a question. When were you in the church? You said Saturday. Is that correct?
Pardon?
Can you tell me when a church was last built in Saudi Arabia to show the tolerance of the Muslim world so that we in America do not distrust them as much as we do? Tell me why there are no churches in Saudi Arabia.
Listen, I'm better than the Saudi Arabians.
Better? That shows you how arrogant you are, that you're blind to the realities of the world.
The reason I'm better...
You are blind. Now, when I opened the show, I talked about the various mosques built on other religious holy sites. Did you hear a word of that, Bob?
Everybody, you don't hear...
Bob, shut your mouth. Shut your stupid trap. You're not talking to your wife anymore, who left you many years ago. I'm going to ask you again. Can you name one of the mosques that I mentioned that was built on the site of another religion after they conquered that religion? Can you name one of them?
Brilliant black man, either. You can't...
Bob, I know you're a drunk. I know I can hear it in your voice that you're just another drunk from Akron, Ohio. You're entitled to be a drunk because the government supports you with many benefits. You get the medication. What are you on, 6 or 7? How many different medications are you on from the government, Bob? 6 or 7?
Buddy, that I wrote a bunch of books.
Now, let me ask you something. Oh, you wrote a book? Bob, you wrote a book. What's the name of your book?
I didn't write a book. I've done other things.
Of course you didn't write a book. You couldn't write even a check, you dumb bunny, you. You're going to get a test right now that I'm hanging up because you're wasting everyone's time with your idiocy. Bob, name one mosque that was built on one other religion's holy site, or I'm hanging up on you.
There haven't been any, but I'm better.
All right, take a walk. That's the end of the story. So I spend 10 minutes trying to educate bozos like Akron Bob, who come in with the talking points of the Democrat Party out of Ohio, telling the dummies in Ohio what to think about Obama and that he's a great man because he's in favor of the mosque and it makes you better and the Muslims are going to love you. The Muslims are never going to love you, you schmuck! They're going to laugh at you that you're so stupid and so weak as to not see what they're doing to you. The victory mosques include the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israel, built on top of the holiest site in Judaism, the Temple Mount. The next one is the Great Mosque of Cordoba. After the Islamic conquest of the kingdom, of the Visigothic kingdom, the emir of the time reworked it into a mosque. I give you another one. It's in the world of the Hindus, the predominant religion of India. You may not know this, but when the Muslim emperor Babur came down from Fargana in 1527, he defeated a Hindu king. Okay? And after he defeated the Hindu king, the Muslim emperor Babur took over the region, and he left his general in charge as viceroy. And the Muslim general enforced Mughal rule over the population and used terror to maintain control over the civilian population. He came into an area of India in 1528 and built the mosque in Babri, the Babri Masjid. He built the mosque, destroying the Hindu temple. This temple is still revered by devout Hindus as the birthplace of an ancient king of India and a Hindu god Rama, believed by Hindus to be an avatar of Vishnu. And after building the mosque on the site of the destroyed Hindu temple, he called it the Babri Masjid, the Babri Mosque, named after his master Babur. So now we see three in a row, a mosque built on the site of Jewish conquest, a mosque built on the site of Christian conquest, a mosque built on the site of Hindu conquest, and there are several others. But Bob from Akron wouldn't know that. He's too filled with hatred. He's too filled with bigotry. He's too filled with pomposity. He is too filled with the shibboleths of liberalism that we are better. This proves we are better. This proves we are superior, and we don't have to act. We're going to bend over backwards again to the Muslim world, and we're going to beg them to love us. History has shown only one thing. The only thing the Muslim world, or the Arab street, if you want to put it that way, which is what the dummies in the media used to call it. Remember, for years we kept hearing what the Arab street thinks of us? I never cared what the Arab street thought of us, because I'll tell you what I think of the Arab street. Go take a look. Go Google the word clitorectomy. And then look for clitorectomy photos. And take a look at what they do to young girls in regions of Africa. Go take a look at how they mutilate women in the name of peace. And then tell me how great this is and what the Arab street thinks of you. They would butcher you of the Muslim world, so don't give me that double talk about the tolerance of the Muslim. They're just waiting for their time through the demographic conquest. That's all they're waiting for throughout most of the world. All educated people know this. But dumb bunnies like Bob from Akron could never know this, because his mind is too filled with the bilge that was released by the Democrat National Committee. Wisconsin, Ariel, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. All the sites you have mentioned are totally accurate. And please let me allow me to mention another one that is outrageous. In southern Delhi, there is a big monument constructed by about 500 demolished Hindu temples from around 1200 Anno Domini. You can, if you go there and see the site, you can still see some of the stones there with Sanskrit writings on them. This today.
Right. Now, you know, there's something. I hear you. So you're saying there's another Muslim victory site that any educated person could certainly research. But people would say, all right, well and good, but this was not the site of a cathedral that they blew up, the radical Muslims. This was the site of the World Trade Center. Isn't that what they would say, Ariel?
For sure they would.
They would be wrong, and I'll tell you why. Because America today is a nation that has eschewed religion by and large. From the point of view of government, we are a secular humanist liberal nation. And the religion of America is secular humanism. And the towers of secular humanism would have been the World Trade Center, which are the towers of the economic engine of America. Now, Osama bin Laden targeted the World Trade Center for a specific reason. He said these towers symbolize America. They are the symbol of the Satan. They are the symbol of the nation that is no longer religious. So we're going to go after them where their most sacred symbols are. And that would be the World Trade Center. That is what Osama bin Laden said at the time of the attacks. I remember this. And so he did, in fact, destroy our holy temple of capitalism, if you want. He went right at the heart of the holy temples of capitalism. He destroyed them, and now he wants to build a mosque as close as he could. And make no mistake about it. If that mayor of New York, that quisling, yellow-bellied fool Bloomberg, could have his way, he would sell the land of Ground Zero itself to build a mosque. I can guarantee as I stand here, if he could get away with it, and there was a buck in it for him or his cronies, he didn't become a billionaire by being stupid economically. How do you think he made his money? By being an idiot? You didn't think he made his money out of the air, did he? He didn't get money from heaven. He made his billion somehow, didn't he? So he's always looking for a buck. I can guarantee as I stand here, but I can't prove it, that somewhere, somehow, someone in that in the concentric circles around Bloomberg is going to benefit from that $100 million project as sure as I'm standing here. Just as sure as Madoff's relatives benefited from some of his activities. That's my guess and that's my supposition. I'll be back.
Savage.
Course of our history. Religion has flourished within our borders precisely because Americans have had the right to worship as they choose, including the right to believe in no religion at all. And it is a testament to the wisdom of our founders that America remains deeply religious, a nation where the ability of peoples of different faiths to coexist peacefully and with mutual respect for one another stands in stark contrast to the religious conflict that persists elsewhere around the globe.
Really, then how come your friends in the ACLU insist upon tearing down war memorials, crosses atop war memorials? The First Amendment protects freedom of speech, but not when it comes to the Ten Commandments, according to your friends in the ACLU. And they have torn down Ten Commandments monuments around America. How come there was no talk about that from your office when you were at the time a lowly professor somewhere in the bowels of Chicago? Let's hear the rest of Mr. Obama's rationale for supporting the Victory Mosque at Ground Zero.
Recently, attention's been focused on the construction of mosques in certain communities, particularly New York. Now, we must all recognize and respect the sensitivities surrounding the development of Lower Manhattan. The 9/11 attacks were a deeply traumatic event for our country. And the pain and the experience of suffering by those who lost loved ones is just unimaginable. So I understand the emotions that this issue engenders. And Ground Zero is indeed hallowed ground.
So you hear, here's a liberal president saying that he feels your pain. He feels your pain, but he's going to do what he wants anyway. Now, then we have the strange case of the quisling mayor in New York, Bloomberg, the genius, who supports the Ground Zero Mosque, agreeing with Hamas and Obama. So I researched Jews who supported Hitler, because you'd say that's crazy. What the heck does that have to do with this? Well, I'll let you figure it out. Because there were Jews who supported Hitler right in the beginning. You didn't know that. Prior to World War II, the degenerate writer Gertrude Stein made public her opinion that Adolf Hitler should be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. She said, this is the degenerate Gertrude Stein, "I say that Hitler ought to have the Peace Prize because he is removing all the elements of contest and of struggle from Germany." Gertrude Stein said, "By driving out the Jews and the democratic and left element, he is driving out everything that conduces to activity. That means peace. By suppressing Jews, he was ending struggle in Germany," unquote. Time Magazine, May 6, 1934. Who else of the Jewish faith supported Adolf Hitler in the early days. There were quite a few others, but I don't think you'd know who they were. I can give you a couple of others to show you that there have always been Quislings looking out for their own end. George Koreski was a Berlin banker who was president of the Zionist Organization of Germany. Koreski was consulted by the regime of Hitler in matters pertaining to Jews. As a Zionist, he was concerned above all with promoting the migration of Jews to Palestine. And thus, he accepted the Nuremberg Laws of 1935, knowing that a prerequisite for a meaningful migration to Palestine was to ascertain, first of all, who was and who was not a Jew. So he figured, hey, that's great. They're going to do the test for us. Likewise, in 1938, Director Koreski advocated that Jews be forced to wear the Jewish star. So have there been previous geniuses in the Jewish faith, of the Jewish faith, who supported things of this nature? Yeah, this is going to be a shocker now. By 1940-41, the Stern Gang, among them Yitzhak HaShamir, later PM of Israel, presented the Nazis with the fundamental features of the proposals of the National Military Organization of Palestine, which was the precursor to the Irgun, concerning the solution of the Jewish question in Europe and the participation of the NMO in the war on the side of Germany. I don't think you understand this. He actually said that they would side with Germany, that the new Jewish state would side with Germany. Avram Stern of the Stern Gang and his followers announced further that the NMO, which is well acquainted with the goodwill of the German Reich government and its authorities towards Zionist activity inside Germany. I don't think you know any of this, but the early Zionists supported Hitler. Did you know any of that? I know it's embarrassing for you to hear any of this, but those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So said Santayana, the great Spanish philosopher.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In the end, we remain one nation, under God, indivisible. And we can only achieve liberty and justice for all if we live by that one rule at the heart of every great religion, including Islam, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So thank you all for being here. I wish you a blessed Ramadan. And with that, let us eat.
I was not commenting, and I will not comment on the wisdom of making a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding. That's what our country is about. I think it's very important that, as difficult as some of these issues are, we stay focused on who we are as a people and what our values are all about.
We are talking about the proposed Victory Mosque at the site of Ground Zero and the fact that Obama has shown his true colors, if you want to put it in that way, or if you are a little more benign, you could just say he's naive and wants to be a good liberal, or see it that way, whatever way you want to see it. It has become a nightmare for the Democrats, who are wishing that he didn't do this, wishing, in other words, that he'd been a little more political. And that's good news. In other words, God saw the truth, and he waited. He waited for the opportunity to have the viceroy of America make a mistake, and the viceroy, Obama, made a mistake. The viceroy made a mistake, finally. He gave himself away. Now, some could say, no, this shows the tolerance of America, and it will engender love on the Arab street. They'll say, wow, look at those Americans. after we destroyed 3,000 of their citizens in a series of suicide attacks, they're going to let us build a mosque there. Man, they're nice people, I got to tell you. But wait a minute now. They're going to let us build a mosque there after we destroy the Twin Towers. Wow, think of what they'll let us build if we knock out the Pentagon, as we try to do. So why don't we try that? We'll take out the Pentagon, they might let us build more than a mosque. They could let us build a walled city where clitorectomies are performed. You want me to get comedic in the political arena, I could do that too. Now, for those of you who are confused about various religions and various religious practices, all you got to do is Google clitorectomies and go to photos, and you will see how poor girls, are mutilated in certain parts of the Islamic world. Now, this is not to say that all Muslims are living in the Stone Age or the Middle Ages. We understand that any more than we understand that very, very completely. However, this is an issue of sensitivity. And surely those in the Cordoba Institute, particularly that's the brilliant imam, who is questionable, by the way. There are many things about the imam that are questionable, despite what CARE may say. They say that we're stirring up, bigotry? Well, I would ask you if it's not bigoted of them to want to construct a mosque so close to Ground Zero. Wouldn't you say that's insensitive? It'd be like, what if you woke up tomorrow and some Japanese nationalists, there is a resurgence of Japanese nationalism, incidentally, as there is a resurgence of nationalism all over the world threatening secular liberalism. They're shaking in their boots throughout Europe, trying to suppress the nationalisms that are arising again, despite the desire to destroy national imagery. You see nationalist parties arising, whether it be in Holland or Denmark or Sweden or England or France or Germany. There are nationalist parties that are emerging, some doing very well, by the way, when they're allowed to run for office, except in America, where the monopoly called Democrat-Republican game does not permit anything that even smacks of America to get near an office of power. Now, the Tea Parties, although they're unformed and unfocused, by the way, are potentially a third party. Tea Parties potentially represent some third party, but there's no organizer yet and no organization. Sarah Palin tried to kill the Tea Parties, whether you know it or not. It's not that she's a bad woman. It's just that she said there is no party attached to the Tea Party, vote Republican. So, you know, she's a company girl. She's a company girl, and she has an R next to her name. Whether you like the R's or not is not the issue. The issue is that there's no nationalism in the R party. You name one Republican who has recently spoken about borders, language, and culture the way I have, and I'll vote for him. Name one who has used any of the slogans that I've created in my best-selling books. Trickle Up Poverty, coming out in October. Could have destroyed Obama during the debates. I gave it to McCain right on the air. Do you remember that? Remember the day of the last debate? I went on the air and I said, you know, Mr. McCain, I really don't like your politics because of your amnesty program and your various other, you know, waffling and liberalism, but you have to win. We cannot let this man win. And you're going to go in a debate with him tonight. You've got the victory line. I'm giving it to you right now. I've coined it for you, Mr. McCain. It's called Trickle Up Poverty. So all you got to do is stand there like Reagan, and when he starts giving his double talk, what you do, Mr. McCain, is you smile and you act the way Reagan did, and you say, now, Senator, we've heard all of that before, and it's called Trickle Up Poverty. And I said that would have been the slogan heard around the world. You would have won the debate, you would have won the election, and you wouldn't be suffering through this socialist Marxism that we're suffering through right now. But he didn't take it. He did not take the title. So I'm writing this, but I wrote this book because I want to change the course of human history. If it's my last book, and it may very well be my last book, it may well be my last nonfiction book, let's put it to you that way. And if it is, then I want it to change the course of human history. And I think that when the book comes out and hundreds of thousands of people have the cover in their hand and they hold it up and it says Trickle Up Poverty, they take it to Tea Party conventions or they take it to a supermarket line, that one, you know, that one billboard that they're holding in their hand can change the course of the election. We just got word that there's breaking news. The liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels has just halted gay marriages pending appeal. Now, we'll see if there's any emotion attached to this from those on the left who are saying that we're exploiting the issue of the Ground Zero Mosque. again, to repeat breaking news on the Savage Nation, the very left-wing 9th Jerkit Court of Schlemiels in San Francisco has just halted homosexual marriage pending appeal. And so we'll see now if there's a lack of emotion or any lack of demagoguery now from those who supported the overturning of the constitutional ballot called Proposition 8, I believe. But let's stick to this for the moment, the mosque story. Everyone understands what this will do for the Democrats. The problem here is that the Republicans are so lead-footed that they're not going to exploit it. You see, if the Republican Party had the balls and the brains to now go for the jugular against the Democrats, they could sweep them out of office. But since the old country club Republicans don't have neither of the attributes I just mentioned, they're not even going to mention the Ground Zero Mosque. They're going to be told, now, come on, you can't mention that. That would be demagoguery. Why don't you listen to the schmuck who writes for Time magazine who says you've got a perfect campaign tool, but don't use it. Show them that you're better than that. You show them that you're better than that. You do exactly what old Georgie Bush did and make certain that we have socialism for the next 100 years in America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Inaugural address, I said that our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus.
Wait a minute, let's stop for a minute. Why does he put Christians and Muslims first? When did Muslim all of a sudden become the second largest religion in America? Under Obama. So he is in favor of the building of the mosque. And he has caused a firestorm in America, except in the newspapers, which have basically become redundant elephants. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. David in New York, welcome to the program. Your opinion, please, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm calling to say I agree with Obama on this. I think it's totally inappropriate to stop these people from building a mosque. I think it's anti-American. And quite frankly, it's unconstitutional for the government to intervene.
All right, so you believe that. Then why is it that Harry Reid, the Senate's top Democrat, has just come out and said a mosque should not be built near the site of the September 11th terrorist attacks? How come Harry Reid would do that when he's a far leftist, just as Obama is?
Well, Mike, you know that better than anyone. Most politicians are weak-kneed, and they don't have any principles.
Oh, so you mean this is a mark of Obama's moral strength that he's supporting the mosque?
Absolutely. He's finally acting like a true American president on this.
I see. So, in other words, you disagree with Harry Reid, who said the First Amendment does protect freedom of religion, and he respects that, but that the mosque should be built elsewhere because the location of the mosque is insensitive, and that will cause an awful lot of, let us say, disquiet in America. In other words, politically, and emotionally, this is going to cause this will cause a lot of disquiet, David. You can't be for that.
Yeah, but you know, I think if people really start talking about these issues, they realize that you know, the vast majority of Muslims, including the ones behind this mosque, are proud Americans.
Are you sure of that, David? Are you sure that the imam is a proud American?
I am sure. Yes.
You are sure. Do you know anything about his background?
He trains the FBI. That's more than you or I do for this country.
Well, that means nothing. The FBI has been turned around over the last few years into a PC organization that bends over backwards to show that it's a liberal humanist organization. So that to me unto itself doesn't mean anything. But do you know anything more about the imam other than he trains the FBI?
Well, I know that his wife was on the 9/11 commission for designing the memorial. So if she, you know, if she can be trusted with designing
the... Since you know so much about it, can you tell us where the funding is coming from, Dave?
As far as I know, they don't have any funding right now.
Okay. You are aware that the imam travels abroad on State Department money?
If he's working for the government, fine.
But do you know that he's traveling abroad to raise money for the mosque?
I think he's going abroad for other issues, but if he raises money along with that, fine.
So you think it's okay if for example, Saudi Arabia contributed money to the building of the mosque, it wouldn't bother you?
It would depend on what that means, Saudi Arabia. I mean, if it's the government of Saudi Arabia that provides some funding, I wouldn't have a problem with it because they provide funding for a lot of mosques in this country. It's going to be a It's going to be like the 92nd Street Y. It's not some. It's not even a mosque.
No, you're wrong. See, now I know you don't really know the whole story. You're wrong, because the fact of the matter is there will be a mosque inside the cultural center.
A prayer room. But I don't even know if they'll have an imam. That'll be, I don't know if they'll like a call to prayer every Friday, but there will be a prayer room, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There will be a call for prayer.
I think you're miscategorizing it, and you know, in good faith, this is a minority group, and as someone who's Jewish, you should appreciate, let's not target...
I'm supposed to have sympathy for Muslims because you tell me to be guilty about Muslims? Are you crazy?
I'm saying that you should have compassion for another religious minority group, of course.
Well, excuse me, I'm missing something. You mean it was Jews who slammed planes into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon? I'm missing something on that?
You didn't hear me say that, did you? I said...
What exactly did you say, that all Jews must now march and goose step with Mayor Bloomberg because he's a politically correct secular humanist?
I think Bloomberg is showing a lot of guts here. You know,
Bloomberg is a fool. Why don't you ask Orthodox Jews what they think about building a mosque next to the Ground Zero?
You know, I think that they're probably split. I'm just saying that if you...
Well, you're guessing. Okay, you're guessing. You're guessing on that. But I think if you looked into the imam, you may find out that what you're saying is not true. I mean, there's a lot of information about the real imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. Do you know anything? I mean, really, do you know much about him?
I know that he's a Sufi Muslim, which, by you know, Al-Qaeda doesn't like Sufis either. They'd probably kill him. So if you put that in perspective, I mean, in general, Sufis are a much more moderate form of Islam. That's not Shiite. It's not Sunni. So Al-Qaeda would probably kill him, is what I'm getting at.
Are you sure? Are you sure that all Sufis are as peaceful as you say?
I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that, but I said in general. That's what I said. In general, there.
In general, all right. So we can't define that. So if you say that the imam of the Ground Zero Mosque is a moderate Muslim, and I hope he is, will the imam, Imam Rauf, counter the Quranic passages that depict an angry Allah transforming Jews into apes and pigs?
Yeah, I don't believe that's the focus of his...
Well, no, I'm saying, would he? Why don't you ask him to show that he's a moderate Muslim and say that he does not support the Quranic passages that depict an angry Allah transforming Jews into apes and pigs?
I think that goes without saying. And the way this...
Well, why would it go without saying? He has now become a very important imam who can make a big change in the way the Muslim world sees Jews. And you as a Jew, since you brought that up, since you're a Jew, wouldn't you want your friendly PC imam, Rauf, to say that I totally despise that imagery inside the Quran?
Again, it's not a requirement to build a mosque. He should, you know, we don't ask religious...
Why does your imam, your friendly imam, continually sidestep the question about Hamas, an organization that avows it will destroy Israel? Doesn't that disturb you?
It doesn't, because it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant because you say so? You're not in a court of law trying to convince a jury right now. You know, a lot of people are listening to you, and your answers are quite shallow. This imam has not answered the question about Hamas. He actually hasn't said he disavows Hamas.
It's irrelevant. It has no relevancy to building a mosque.
What do you mean it's irrelevant? What if a church were being built in a sensitive area, and we heard that the reverend or the pastor was somehow connected to right-wing groups, and it was all nefarious, and all we did was ask the preacher to come out and say, I totally disavow any allegations that I support anything to do with the Third Reich or Hitler. Wouldn't that be a reasonable request?
You could ask the question, but you can't bar him from building it based on...
Well, now you're changing the discussion. Of course you can't bar him from building it. Actually, you could bar it by declaring it something other than what it is. So I would say, my friend, the jury has voted against your presentation,
Savage.
Counselor.
As a citizen and as president, I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country.
And that includes about that, and no one's stopping Muslims from practicing their religion. I support all five of the principal religions of the earth. I have from the beginning. and no one is attacking Islam. We are talking about the construction of a mosque inside the Trojan Horse Cultural Center at the site of Ground Zero, within a short proximity to it. And, you know, I've got to now pull back to the imam behind it, because you say, well, what does he have to do with anything? Because the last call, the caller before, was an attorney who probably was well-meaning, by the way. He sounded like a decent guy. And he was just trying to be reasonable. He understands you can't win an argument by being hateful and angry, and I understand where he was coming from. He wanted his tolerance to show, and he wanted us to swing around to his side, his point of view. So I would answer those of you who are tolerant and believe there's nothing wrong with this, to think about this. Just as a restaurant is known by its chef, in other words, most famous restaurants revolve around the chef. Would you go to a new restaurant unless you heard that the chef was somebody this, TV show that, he had cooked at the French toilet bowl or whatever in California, and then he went from the French toilet bowl in Sonoma to New York, and he opened another clip joint. Then you'd go, he owned the French toilet in Sonoma, so he's opening a new clip joint on Fifth Avenue. I'm going to go to that. So just as a restaurant's known by a chef, a church is known by its pastor. You know that. When Jerry Falwell was alive, he was a great speaker, a great leader. He is the one who introduced the concept of family values into the American political sphere. He gave us Ronald Reagan. After Jerry Falwell died, the whole concept of family values went with him. And so, therefore, the imam behind the mosque or cultural center must be looked at. So who is he? Who is Imam Rauf? Isn't it time for us to ask ourselves some of these questions? What is the Cordoba initiative? What does that mean? Why is it called Cordoba? After all, a Cordoba is a very sensitive site, as I've told you. It's one of the sites of a Victory Mosque, which was brought up originally by Newt Gingrich, who was a learned man, but he didn't tell you about the others, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Babri Masjid, built on perhaps the holiest site in Hinduism, the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years until it was converted to a mosque by the Ottoman Turks, etc. So therefore, you have to see things in context, and now we have to look at the Imam Rauf and see if he is the benign liberal Muslim that many callers believe he is. We read that in 1965, with funding from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Libya, Mr. Rauf's father secured two-thirds of the block at 96th Street and 3rd Avenue for a mosque, and that Rauf withheld the information about the Islamic donors until 1984. In fact, all 46 Islamic nations have financed the 96th Street mosque. So now we're asking, why does Mr. Rauf refuse to explain who was funding the Ground Zero mosque? Now we go into another article on this. Did you know that the U.S. taxpayer dollars through Hillary Clinton are helping to rebuild mosques in Tanzania, Iraq, and Egypt? Did you know that the U.S. government helped save the Amir Ibn al-As Mosque in Cairo? Do you know what the mosque's namesake is? The mosque's namesake was the Muslim conqueror of Christian Egypt. How does one justify American taxpayer money going to Muslim oil states who since 1973 have earned $13 trillion as a result of sitting atop reserves of oil? What about Mr. Rauf's wife, Daisy Khan? Well, we learned, quote, she apparently never filed a required informational return or regular annual report quote, shocking for charity with over $1 million in grants just last year, close quote. Now, what about First Amendment questions about the separation of church and state? Why is taxpayer money being used to preserve and promote Islam even abroad, which is what Hillary Clinton needs to answer for? It's very clear that one cannot separate religion from a mosque. It's not just bricks and mortar. So why is Hillary Clinton and the State Department supporting the construction of mosques overseas when we're bankrupt over here? Now let's say, what does that have to do with the Ground Zero Mosque and its cloudy financial underwriting? We understand that there is an agenda amongst some within the Islamic world, an agenda known as Muslim triumphalism. We understand that. You don't know that because this is all new to most of us. I don't blame you. We're all learning together. But you have to first understand what Islam itself teaches. You have to understand what the consequences are for those who grew up in society suffused with Islam. If you don't know that, then you can't understand this topic because you're seeing it through the lenses of secular humanism and United States First Amendment laws. You're not understanding the true meaning of what this means unless you understand Islam itself and you understand more about the statement I just made to you. So let's look at that. We have an ideology at odds with democratic beliefs. Let's start with that as a premise. Sharia law contradicts the American Constitution. Period. How many young women with their noses and ears cut off must we see to understand this belief system of Sharia law? What about the mistreatment of non-Muslims, whether Hindus in Pakistan and Bangladesh or Christians in Egypt and Lebanon, who have been forced to flee for their lives under Sharia law? What about in 2010, Wahhabiyah Saudi Arabia, the good friends of us, of America, 2010 now, outlawed the celebration of St. Valentine's Day? What about in 2008, the Vatican confirmed that it was negotiating for permission to build the first church in Saudi Arabia? Well, how come there are no churches in Saudi Arabia? Why? How come that's possible? I thought they were all friends now. How is that possible? Now bring it to Ground Zero in New York. It's the symbolic heart of the attacks in which the Islamist terrorists on September 11, 21, murdered almost 3,000 Americans. So, therefore, many people are saying this is a trophy mosque that will represent another victory for the stealth jihadist struggle if it is permitted to be built. That is one side of the issue. The other side is the secular humanist liberal approach, which is that we're, you know, it's all religions are equal and we're not being fair and we've got to show the Arabs we're, superior to them? Is that what you're saying? Don't you understand the superiority inherent in that? That you're not saying, you're actually saying something quite odd here. You're saying that if we show them we're superior to them, they're going to like us more? That our system is superior? They're not going to see it that way. The Arab street's going to say, hey, yeah, hey, look at this. Look what we did. We blew up the World Trade Centers, which were the equivalent, symbolic equivalent of a church to Americans, because the World Trade Centers were in fact a monument to our economic system. They symbolized capitalism, and that is exactly what Osama bin Laden targeted. He wanted to target the heart of capitalism, and he succeeded. And he succeeded. He blew up the symbols of the heart of capitalism in downtown New York. Just as Hitler wanted to build an airplane that could fly to New York and drop an atomic bomb because he wanted to go to the center of world Jewry, so did Osama bin Laden. Do the same thing. What you don't know, and this is something you need to study, and again, I don't have the time for it, is the deep connection between the Grand Mufti and Adolf Hitler. And if you say, well, what the hell does that have to do with this? Well, if you don't want to look into those troubling connections, my friends, you are condemned to repeat your history because you don't know it. Nazism was blown off the planet by the firebombing and then the destruction of Hitler's Germany. The Third Reich was crushed to the ground. Japanese imperialism was blown up with two atomic bombs. But the one major force on the planet that was never punished for their misdeeds and their crimes against humanity has been the world of Islam. You want some proof to that? I can devote three shows to that. I can tell you all about the creation of the various Nazi robotic murderers in Croatia. You want to start with Croatia? How they took the Croatians and put them in Nazi uniforms and created Waffen-SS units, which then killed 90% of the Jews in Croatia because they were told to do so by the Grand Mufti, who went there and collaborated with Himmler and with Hitler. You say, well, you're off the track now. That was then, this is now. Well, you may see it that way because you don't have the long arc of history that some do. But you must never underestimate your enemy nor degrade your enemy by not seeing how they see the world. They don't see the world in election cycles. They see the world through the cycles of millennia and through the long scope of history and the long arc of history that they're looking at. They know that without firing another shot, they're going to conquer America. They know that. They know it through demography. They know it through the degeneracy of the America we live in, where the birth rate is now approaching non-replacement value, especially amongst white people. And I want to digress for a moment about birth rates for a minute. The birth rate amongst Muslims, even in America, is quite high. The birth rate amongst Americans, particularly amongst people of European heritage, is quite low. The birth rate that's required for replacement of a population is 2.1. In Europe, it varies between 1.6, 1.0, and less than 1.0. Ireland is very low. Serbia is very low. That's because these countries have been, these nations and societies have been deracinated by Western civilization. All the degeneracy of the music and the drugs have deracinated the cultures. They unraveled. They unraveled. The girls have become degenerate sluts. They don't even want to get married. They don't want to destroy their bodies. They want to look like the whores of Sunset Boulevard. And so, therefore, the birth rate is very low amongst Europeans. And the Muslims, to their credit, have not been deracinated. To their credit now, I told you there's a positive element to all of this, incidentally. You haven't heard me talk about that yet, but I will at some point. I was in L.A. over the weekend, as I told you, so I went to dinner with my friend Andrew Breitbart and a couple of people from Hollywood who I will not mention. And we were in a restaurant. I took him to a restaurant somewhere, an Italian restaurant. After about three bottles of wine, we were really loud. We were talking about this exact topic of birth rates and Islam. And I said to one of the guys there, an actor, a very famous actor, I said, well, the birth rate is lower than 2.1. Whereupon, after the dinner, we were leaving, we were outside in the parking lot, and a guy comes up to me and he says, by the way, you're wrong. The birth rate in America is higher than 2.1. I said, well, no, I'm not talking about the overall birth rate of America. I know it's higher than 2.1. I said, amongst European Americans, it's lower than 2.1. And he denied I was correct. He wanted to be right. I didn't even argue with him because at a certain point, I don't care. I know what the facts are. I said, yes, if you include Hispanics who have a very high birth rate, God bless them, it is over 2.1. But not amongst the European Americans. They're not reproducing at the proper rate for survival in the long run. So we were having fun, and earlier in the dinner, this is very just a little funny side note, I swear to God this happened. You know how restaurants get very loud? I don't like loud restaurants, but this was a loud restaurant. We were sitting in an outdoor covered patio, and we were having a great political discussion, in some cases arguing with each other. I forget over what, but we were having a great political discussion, four great intelligent guys. It was a lot of fun for me. All of a sudden, an old man turns from one of the tables, and he says, will you guys please quiet down? You're very loud. So one of the actors who was with us, this guy could play the Hulk. He is so big. He said out very loud, he says, God, communists sure hate freedom of speech, don't they? That's all he said. And every time the man turned to say something to us, he repeated again, damn, those communists really hate freedom of speech, don't they, Michael? Whereupon, of course, when the dinner was over, the poor man slunk out behind their wives and the big pocketbooks that their wives held, going to their Buicks out in the parking lot. I mean, this is an example of what liberals do. When they're talking loud, it's all well and good. When you're talking loud, it's offensive. Now, that brings us right back, fair and square, to the Ground Zero Mosque. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Remain one nation under God, indivisible. And we can only achieve liberty and justice for all if we live by that one rule at the heart of every great religion, including Islam. That we do unto others.
I agree that we should have freedom of religion in America, but I say that the mosque is in the wrong place. It's obviously selected for a reason. A dear friend of mine who will remain anonymous just sent this to me. He said, the space is a war monument and the mosque organizers know it. On September 11th, the landing gear assembly of one of the planes used in the attack crashed through the roof of what was then a Burlington coat factory. This is not just a random building in lower Manhattan. It is a war monument to Islamic supremacism. You know, I have been reading, okay, on the plane I bought some magazines. I like to like a kid again. I bought Flying Magazine because I always wanted to fly. I took lessons. I never went anywhere with it. But now I'm at a point where I'm bored of boating. So I'm toying with becoming a pilot. All right, maybe. I probably won't do it. But I'm reading the magazine. You know what I saw in the magazine that struck me as very odd? Several of the schools, aeronautical universities, schools that teach how to fly, they have ads in the Flying Magazine. And strangely enough, several of them show the students, and they're all of Middle Eastern origin. It's as though they're advertising in the magazine saying, come fly with me. Now you say, well, all right, why shouldn't Middle Easterners learn to fly in America? I don't know. It just struck me as bizarre. They show a happy Caucasian pilot instructor teaching a smiling Middle Easterner how to fly a glide path. The almighty dollar, huh? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. 1-800-da-da-da-da-da-da. So what would you like to talk about? We're going to have this argument over and over again. All you got to know is that, what's his name? Harry Reid. Harry Reid came out against the mosque there. He said, of course, I believe in the first, in the religion, freedom of religion, but it should be elsewhere. Even Harry Reid, who's in a tight race in Nevada against Angle, and he's going to lose. There's no question he will lose. Even he recognizes this is political. This is a political mistake. Let's make it mild. We don't have to over-explain it. Obama stepped on the third rail with this one. He just threw it out at the Ramadan dinner. He was around friends. They were tearing pita bread together, about to dip it into the hummus. They were about to crunch chickpeas together, and he just felt relaxed. And little did he know the mic was on. Now, it sounded good there. And this is the problem with an unskilled green politician. He's an unskilled green politician. Young man, give him time yet. Give him a few 10 years, 15 years as president after he grants amnesty to the illegals and they erase term limits. He'll get very skilled at this. But he made a mistake. It was for broadcast. So when he said these things, he didn't realize that it would go beyond that audience, that friendly audience. And unfortunately for him, and fortunately for America, it did. And consequently, he backtracked. The next day, listen to clip 11. You know about the backtrack, right?
I was not commenting, and I will not comment on the wisdom of making a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding.
Let's stop right there. So he's by saying he was not commenting on the wisdom of making the decision to put a mosque there, he's saying it shouldn't be put there. That's actually what he should have said the next day. Actually, if he was smart, truthfully, and he's no dummy, his handler should say, look, President, you're making it impossible for us to run in November. We can't win. Because if any Republican gets up and says, we support the mosque at Ground Zero, how do we defend that? There's no position we can take other than, yes, we do, no, we don't, or you're a liar. There's no way out of that one. It's like, did you stop beating your wife yet? In any debate with any Democrat, all of the repubes have to do is say, why do you support the building of a mosque at Ground Zero? Don't you realize it's offensive to those who lost relatives? Now, what can a politician say? Yes, I support it because I support the First Amendment. Then the other guy says, well, of course, I support the First Amendment and freedom of religion, too. But it's a very insensitive place to build a mosque. Why not build it where? You know, even Governor Patterson is a Democrat, lifetime Democrat. Everyone underestimated this guy. They thought they'd throw him out. He was a shill. He was put in when Governor Prostitute got, you know, a Governor Prostitute and now works for the MSNB, wherever you put him. I don't know where they put him, whatever. They're all the same. Even Governor Patterson said, I'll give you land elsewhere, build it somewhere else. This is a smart man. I don't think that Patterson did this because of politics. I think he did it because he knows it's offensive. I actually think that in his heart, he knows this is an outrage. I think I saw a man with character in Governor Patterson in New York. How do you like that? I can't say the same for Mayor Bloomberg. I cannot say that for Mayor Bloomberg. He is a disgrace. He is a perennial disgrace. He's a quisling, not only to his own people, but a quisling to the whole meaning of being a leader. And I have nothing more to add to this topic right now, but I have another big hour coming up on the Savage Nation. And the Ground Zero Mosque will be a big part of that hour.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
end, we remain one nation, under God, indivisible. We can only achieve liberty and justice for all if we live by that one rule at the heart of every great religion, including Islam, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So thank you all for being here. I wish you a blessed Ramadan. And with that, let us eat.
Saturday morning. Oh, Saturday morning. All right, the big news today on the Savage Nation is the Ground Zero Victory Mosque that Obama, Hamas, and Mayor Bloomberg all agree upon, which is the Victory Mosque. Now, there's a big story here. And the big story is not only that the president has shown his true religious leanings, because he knows very well that these troublemakers who want to build this mosque at the site of Ground Zero are doing it only to run a victory lap on America. He knows that. Many people who lost relatives are saying this mosque celebrates our murders. And guess what? The average person is smarter than the president. I will now expose to you on the Savage Nation, expose for you, the mosques built around the world over the ages, and when they were built, and what their significance was. The first holiest site in Islam is the Kaaba, and that was built in the desert by Muhammad himself. At the time that he built it, it was a shrine containing hundreds of idols representing Arabian tribal gods and other religious figures, including Jesus and Mary. He wanted the shrine to be changed for the new religion of Islam that he preached. And so, in 630, Muhammad and his followers returned to Mecca as conquerors, and he destroyed the 360 idols in and around the Kaaba. Okay? And this area was rededicated as an Islamic house of worship. Number two, the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian cathedral for nearly 1,000 years, stood in what is now Turkey. This church contained a large collection of Christian holy relics. It was the seat of the Patriarch of Constantinople and the religious focal point of the Eastern Orthodox Church for nearly 1,000 years. You know what happened? In 1453, Constantinople was conquered by the Ottoman Turks, and Sultan Mehmed II ordered the building to be converted into a mosque. The bells, altar, and sacrificial vessels were removed. Many of the Christian mosaics were plastered over by the Muslims, while the Islamic features, including the four minarets outside, were added over the course of history under the Ottomans. This was clearly done as a mark of conquest. There was then another site built on one of the holiest sites in all of Hinduism called the Babri Masjid. And this was built after the Muslims conquered a Hindu region. In the next issue in Spain, the Great Mosque of Cordoba was begun in approximately 600 AD as the Christian Visigothic Church of St. Vincent. After the Muslim conquest of the Visigothic Kingdom of the Emir, after the Islamic conquest of this kingdom, a Muslim emir converted the church into a mosque starting in 784. Finally, the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is built on top of one of the holiest sites in Judaism, the Temple Mount. What is it all about? Well, it was originally a Jewish temple. When Jerusalem was conquered by Muslims, what did they do? What did they do? Well, they built a mosque on top of the site of the Jewish temple. And so now we come to Ground Zero. The Muslims, the radical Muslims, let's not forget, slammed planes into the World Trade Center, killed 3,000 Americans, and only a few years later, 9 years later, we have a president who is of Muslim descent on his father's side, who celebrates the building of a mosque right next to Ground Zero when 68% of those polled in America oppose it. I rest my case. The fact is that he has good company, Obama. His company includes Hamas and Mayor Bloomberg, the type of quisling that America does not need. But there's a bigger picture. The bigger picture is liberal humanism as a religion. You see, liberalism is actually a religion of the state. Liberalism is the religion that fights Christianity at every turn. And liberal humanism, the religion of this state, has now failed us against radical Islam when they've come face to face. Liberal secular humanism, which the left uses as their religion, has now failed to stop the onslaught of radical Islam, which must be stopped if we are to survive as a nation and if the West is to survive as a civilization. Radical Islam has beaten liberal humanism at every turn, exploiting its weakness, using its stupidity against it. And there is no better example of this than the controversy over the building of a mosque at Ground Zero. The radical Muslims behind this, the so-called Cordoba Initiative, have declared that they will build their mosque in Lower Manhattan near the former site of the World Trade Center. Liberal humanism has stated for decades that all religion is equal, that all religions should be allowed free reign with no limitations. And so it will allow radical Muslims to build this victory mosque next to the site of what they consider to be their greatest achievement in battle. Well, what is a victory mosque? Well, go back in history. Go back to all of the areas I have told you about. And since our president has said that all religions should be allowed free reign with no limitations, and he is behind the Ground Zero Mosque, I will ask you a question. Will the Muslims permit a church or a synagogue to be built in Saudi Arabia? Will the Muslims permit a church or a synagogue to be built in Gaza? After all, the head of Hamas came out on radio the other day and said that Islam, Muslims should be able to practice their religion the same as Jews and Christians. Hey, that's wonderful. I agree. Let's begin in Saudi Arabia. Let's see the first church in Saudi Arabia and the first synagogue in Saudi Arabia. And by the way, while they're at it, while they're building those churches and synagogues in Saudi Arabia, let's put one a half a block away from the area where the Hajj occurs in Saudi Arabia. The Hajj, the holiest site in Islam. Would they permit a church to be built two blocks away? This is not Islamophobia. This is clearly not only Christophobia, but this, my friends, is one of the greatest travesties in history that an American president would be so insensitive or so outright supportive of the enemies of freedom that he would equate it with freedom of religion. Why would you hunt an animal with a crossbow? What kind of idiot would do a thing like that? What kind of sport is that? What, do you like seeing an animal suffer? All right, tell me how great you are for killing an animal that didn't hurt anybody. Go ahead. I know now all the hunters are going to get mad at me. I know what's going to come. Now I'm going to say, oh, you're an elite talk show host. You don't hunt. You buy it in plastic wrappers. Yeah, I buy it in plastic wrappers in Safeway. That's right. I don't like seeing an animal scream in pain. Well, what do you think they do in a stockyard? I've seen them. You drive by the stockyards, it's a horrendous thing. That's another conflict in my life, is to love animals and eat them. I mean, it's a conflict. I admit it. I do. I admit it's a conflict. I mean, I'd like to be a vegetarian, but I don't like vegetables that much, number one. I have no energy if I eat only vegetables. Dead. I need the carnitine from meat, thank you very much. See, we're omnivores. How many times have I told you we're not designed to be vegetarians? You can be a vegetarian, yes, and some vegetarians are very strong, yes, and some vegetarians can whip my butt. I know, yes, it's all true. But if you actually look at your dentures, your teeth, you'll see that you're designed to be an omnivore. You have some cutting teeth, you have some grinding teeth, and then you have four canine teeth, boys and girls. You put your fingers in your mouth, and you feel four sharp teeth, two top, two bottom. Those are meant for ripping and tearing flesh. That's the dog in you. That's the dog meant to tear flesh, because you have to eat some flesh and some vegetable and some grain. You're an omnivore. That's the key to it. But you're so confused, you don't even know what you're meant to eat. Many are lacto-ovo, vegetarian, and I only live in the morning on dew, and the sunlight and the dew, and I eat very little, one meal a day. At night, they're in a nightclub being strapped to a wall, being beaten and whipped, and they voted for Al Gore. This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
We have talked about Obama's lack of action towards Iran. Joining us now is Ken Timmerman, who has been monitoring this outrageous situation
Well, Michael, there have always been power struggles among the factions of the ruling clerical elite inside Iran ever since the 1979 revolution. But it's interesting to see this apparent assassination attempt against the president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, just recently, the grenade thrown at his motorcade as he was visiting Hamadan in western Iran. There have been rumors inside Iran of a rise of Rafsanjani, or a return of Rafsanjani, and also rumors that Ahmadinejad himself is seeking to oust the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. He has said recently, for example, "I am not the president of the supreme leader of the Veliyat-e Faqih. I serve the 12th imam, the Imam Zaman." This is an extremely dangerous development in my view.
Why?
Because Ahmadinejad himself believes that he is the representative of the 12th imam on earth. That, under the Iranian constitution, is in fact what the supreme leader is supposed to be. Ahmadinejad's devotion to the 12th imam is troubling because he believes he can hasten the return of the 12th imam, and this means by launching a world war or mass destruction. Here's some of the things going on in the background, Michael. In February, Ahmadinejad gave a speech which was not, nobody paid much attention to it here in the West. He said that Iran is now capable of enriching uranium to 100%. His top aide, Rahim Mashai, recently clarified what Ahmadinejad meant by that. He said, when you enrich uranium to 100%, essentially you're saying you can make an atomic bomb. Or it means building an atomic bomb, is the exact quote from Rahim Mashai. This open defiance of world powers, of the International Atomic Energy, of the UN Security Council, by Ahmadinejad, has got other leaders inside Iran, including the supreme leader, worried. There are persistent reports recently that Rafsanjani, who had been pretty much ousted after last year's presidential selection. Rafsanjani is making a comeback. He's going to the Supreme Leader Khamenei and saying, look, this guy, this president, is too radical. He's going to get us in trouble. He's going to get us bombed either by the United States or by Israel. We've got to scale back this nuclear program, dial down the tensions a bit, and I am the man to do that. That's really what's going on behind the scenes here. There was another very interesting meeting recently in Tehran, where you had the leader of Ansari Hezbollah, one of the top leaders of Ansari Hezbollah, telling his followers. Now, this group, Ansari Hezbollah, is one of the most radical elements of the regime there, but they are loyal personally to Khamenei. They are not loyal to Ahmadinejad.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy gave a speech just recently where he said, look, there is a new movement in Iran that's appearing. It wants to appear like it's more revolutionary than the supreme leader himself. And he went on to say, quote, this new movement wants to put the supporters of Hezbollah in the society against the supreme leader and to make this movement problematic for him. The movement does not want to see the country in peace and tranquility. It even wants to vacate the surroundings of the supreme leader himself, of anyone else other than itself. And when this happens, it will want to say, we are the only ones who stayed. Therefore, all authority should be surrendered to me because I won 25 million votes. Now, that's the end of the quote. And that, Michael, the 25 million votes is the key. That's a direct reference to Ahmadinejad. So you have this leader of Ansari Hezbollah saying, essentially, Ahmadinejad is setting himself up in a parallel government structure. He's trying to sideline everybody else from other factions, put only his people next to the supreme leader, and ultimately he wants to replace the supreme leader himself. This is essentially accusing Ahmadinejad of carrying out a putsch inside Iran. And that, I think, is what everybody is really afraid of right now. They see Ahmadinejad's actions as a potential putsch, or if you wish, a de facto putsch inside Iran. And I think that you're going to see increasing pressure on him in the coming weeks. There are some rumors that the parliament could act and impeach him the same way that they did President Banisadr in 1981. Or I think it's also quite possible that Ahmadinejad could give the order to the nuclear weapons establishment to carry out a nuclear weapons test, or to take at least the preparations for carrying out a nuclear weapons test.
Really?
This would be obviously a tremendous provocation. I think it would immediately lead to military action by Israel and perhaps even by the United States. And this may be exactly what Ahmadinejad himself wants. Remember, his devotion to the 12th Imam means that he wants to see a big war in the very near future. He thinks this will make the 12th Imam return to Earth. So war for him is not a bad thing. A nuclear war or a war over an Iranian nuclear weapons program to Ahmadinejad is not a bad thing. He thinks he wins by this, and he gets rid of all of the wishy-washy pseudo-revolutionaries who don't really support his 12th Imam eschatology. So I think we're headed for a very dangerous time right now in Iran. We should watch events very closely, see how the factional fighting is developing, whether there will be a truly serious challenge to Ahmadinejad, perhaps an assassination attempt against him, or an effort by the Majlis to get rid of him.
Well, thanks for the report, Kent.
Savage.
Everybody I know, and some of them voted for Obama, are sick. People are sick. They're frightened. They don't know what's coming next. They feel as though the country is out of control. Everything is upside down. And they're physically breaking down, and they're mentally breaking down. This administration has produced a turmoil in the American people unseen since, I don't know what. What should I say? Since World War II? I've never seen anything like this. Shall I go back to the Civil War? For his own reasons. This is the most divisive, destructive president in American history in the minds of millions of thoughtful, intelligent human beings who have seen what this man is doing. It's time for something lighter. Joining us now is James Herson with his report on what's going on in Hollywood.
Reality television now dominates primetime shows on the broadcast networks and is increasingly taking over cable as well. The high ratings and low cost of these so-called reality shows ensure that this kind of entertainment, and I use the term loosely, will stay on the air, unfortunately. The reality show genre has not remained static, though. New boundary-pushing shows have emerged as networks compete to outdo each other. We have become a reality show culture. I mean, we now have a host of celebrities like Kate Gosselin and Kim Kardashian and the cast of Jersey Shore who are famous and paid lots of money for no discernible reason. In many cases, young people respond to the question of what they want to do in the way of a vocation by saying, "Someday I want to be a reality star." I mean, those aren't words a parent wants to hear. Of course, the shows are anything but real. If the audience saw the coaching by these production people, the makeup, the lighting, the camera crews, the retakes, the editing, they would realize these programs are a sham.
Exactly.
And speaking of facade, our current president came into office with the same kind of qualifications of a reality show cast member. He stages events to make them seem real, just like those reality producers. And he even appears on the same talk shows that the reality stars do. And now we find out that an individual who is touted as a future presidential candidate has succumbed, unfortunately, to the reality show age. I mean, with the volatile relationship with her daughter, Bristol, and the father to her grandchild, Levi Johnston, Sarah Palin has been covered by the press more than any other potential presidential candidate. She's got lots of exposure. She's even a Fox News contributor. But now she's going where no former VP candidate or potential presidential candidate has ever gone before. Discovery announced that a show, Sarah Palin's Alaska.
No, you're making this up.
A reality series will premiere on the TLC channel on November 14th, 2010, just a little bit after the elections. The debut was announced to the Television Critics Association, but the TLC president revealed a showstopper. You know who's going to be the guest star on Sarah Palin's reality show? Kate Gosselin and all eight of her kids.
What?
Now, this doesn't seem to fit the conventional pattern of someone who is serious about a run for the White House. I mean, this is going to be a show that will feature lots of fishing, hiking, and I'm sort of hoping that Sarah and Kate will do a bit of moose hunting. And then we have the reality saga that's hit the infotainment world, the saga of Stephen Slater, the fleeing flight attendant who was working for JetBlue Airways. When, after he cursed out an unruly passenger, he abruptly left the plane via the inflatable emergency exit slide. I mean, this is reminiscent of the 1976 film Network, where a character named Howard Beale galvanized the nation with his rant when he said, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore." Slater's act has become a rallying cry for a culture, this American culture, that is fuming mad. And making a movie is already the talk in Hollywood boardrooms. In fact, the Movie Line website picked film directors who would best bring Slater's story to life.
Oh, my God.
Now, according to the arraignment documents, Slater indicated he was trying to placate a female passenger on a flight from Pittsburgh to JFK, and it took place at the beginning of the flight. And it was over the use of those overhead luggage bins. Slater grabbed the mic and he let loose with a tirade on the plane's intercom. And when the flight landed, he deployed the emergency chute and used it to make a hasty exit. He's currently out on $2,500 bail. He's facing criminal charges, including criminal mischief, reckless endangerment. But he is a star. He's going to be on with one of these reality shows soon. He gave his first interview with the New York Times to a reporter on his way to a parking garage, and he claimed that he'd been thinking about doing this very act for two decades. He said, "For 20 years I thought about it, but you never think you're going to do it." And he's gotten lots of support. He's a cult hero. He's got a Facebook fan page. And, of course, as I said, he's going to get a reality show offer. And he says that support is overwhelming. He had no idea until he got out of jail that all this was going on. Now some of the passengers on the plane are saying that it was Slater's fault, that he was acting rude and agitated. So Slater's ex-wife, Suzanne, at least they say she's his ex-wife, and now there's some reports they might still be married, but she goes on and saying it's hard to believe that he's the consummate flight attendant. So he's actually doing damage control on his fame already.
Hmm.
He's even getting some attention from Madison Avenue, the New York sports club's chain of fitness centers, which often runs pitches related to current events, is running an ad based on this flight attendant. The ad, scheduled to run next week, will carry the headline, "Flight attendants, be fit when you hit the slide." I guess they're probably going to use some video from his escapade. And the public is transfixed by this story. Why? Well, partially because of its reality show aspects, but more so because Slater's actions, the flight attendant's actions, reflect something most Americans are feeling these days. Deep anger. A new NBC Wall Street Journal poll says just that, that the public is peeved. In fact, most people in this country would like to do just what Slater did, scream some profanity over the intercom, grab a beer from the drink cart, and jump out using the emergency slide. That's because 60% of us, according to this poll, think that the current Congress is either below average or among the worst ever. This is a record, of course. Only 24% of us view the GOP favorably, an all-time low. Only a third of us view the Dems favorably. And the very negative component for the Democrats matches an all-time high.
Well, sure, okay.
Almost 6 in 10 say that America is headed in the wrong direction. And despite the administration strangely talking about a recovery summer, 64% of us think that the economy hasn't even hit the bottom yet. For these upcoming midterms, members of the party currently in power had better brace themselves. You know, when there's a certain group of people that express a very high interest in voting, well, the GOP has an 11-point edge in that very important area. And look, the preeminent issue right now is the economy. That's true on the left coast, and that's true in flyover country and on the east coast. And back, if you look at July of 2008, the Democrats had a 16-point advantage on the economy. A year later, it had shrunk to 6 points. In March of this year, it was dead even. And now, the Republicans lead on the economy by 3 points. The economic issue may take those midterm elections and make them seem, at least to the Democrats, unreal.
Thanks, James. It doesn't seem that the Hollywood mentality is getting any better under Obama. Not that I expected it to.
Thanks, Michael, for hosting what we can call an actuality show. Back to you, my friend.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama has come out in support of the Victory Mosque. The jihadists want to build a ground zero.
As a citizen and as president, I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. And that includes the right to build a place of worship and a community center on private property in Lower Manhattan.
Well, this is what the radical Muslims do. When they achieve a military victory, they build a mosque to commemorate the event. But Obama is wrong on this one. Freedom of religion does not give them the right to build a mosque at ground zero. 9/11 is sacred ground. Let them build a mosque somewhere else. Obama doesn't feel that way. What if we read tomorrow that the Japanese wanted to build a memorial to their attack on Pearl Harbor at the site of the Pearl Harbor sinking of our ships? How do you think would happen then? Would the president support their right to build a memorial to the kamikaze pilots in Pearl Harbor? It's the equivalent.
This is America. And our commitment to religious freedom must be unshakable. The principle that people of all faiths are welcome in this country and that they will not be treated differently by their government is essential to who we are. The writ of the founders must endure. We must never forget those who we lost so tragically on 9/11, and we must always honor those who led the response to that attack, from the firefighters who charged up smoke-filled staircases to our troops who are serving in Afghanistan today.
Did you hear that? Obama's using the dead of 9/11 to justify the building of this mosque. This is not all he had to say at the Muslim dinner at the White House.
In my inaugural address, I said that our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and every culture. drawn from every end of this earth. And that diversity can bring difficult debates. This is not unique to our time. Past eras have seen controversies about the construction of synagogues or Catholic churches. But time and again, the American people have demonstrated that we can work through these issues and stay true to our core values and emerge stronger for it. So it must be and will be today.
Now, that only works if those different religions are willing to work within the basic parameters of society. And there are many radical Muslims who are not willing to do that.
We are reminded that Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity. And Ramadan is a reminder that Islam has always been a part of America. The first Muslim ambassador to the United States from Tunisia was hosted by President Jefferson, who arranged a sunset dinner for his guests because it was Ramadan, making it the first known iftar at the White House more than 200 years ago.
Yes, but that was only after Jefferson had defeated the Muslim Barbary pirates. Of course, Obama is now trying to backpedal.
What do you think about the reaction to your speech about the mosque? What about the reaction to this speech?
Well, the my intention was to simply let people know what I thought, which was that in this country, we treat everybody equally in accordance with the law, regardless of race, regardless of religion. I was not commenting, and I will not comment on the wisdom of making a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding. That's what our country is about. I think it's very important that, as difficult as some of these issues are, we stay focused on who we are as a people and what our values are all about.
Yeah, right. And here's the sad sack Gerald Nadler from Brooklyn saying the government can't stop the Ground Zero Mosque. And this is a Jewish man. This is a liberal Jew. This shows you what secular Judaism and secular Catholicism does to the world.
It is now finally being recognized that government, which is what I said initially, that government has no right and no business to comment one way or the other on whether a church or a synagogue or a mosque should be anywhere so long as they meet the legal requirements. And frankly, if government tried in any way, if the Landmarks Commission had landmarked that building for reasons of opposing the mosque, not for real landmark reasons, the courts would have upset it. There is no way for government to block this.
Of course, the empty skirts of the media are praising him.
I thought that the speech Friday night was a model of political courage in the sense that he said what he believed, knowing that it was going to cost him. The White House has stayed out of this issue, knowing that it's political poison. And I thought the president spoke to it fairly directly.
All right, play Blue Monday.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave on me.
I got to tell you, this is a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. There's a writer for the failed Time magazine who says the GOP, the Republicans, should not run against this in their campaign. He's insane. He's saying, oh, you could run against the Islamic Center. You could slam Obama for having supported the mosque at Ground Zero. But here's how the moron concludes, an unknown writer for Time magazine. He said, yes, Republicans, this is your moment. As a famous New Yorker once urged in a very different context, do the right things. He said, a national political fight conducted on the terms you have seen in the past few days will lead to a chain reaction at home and abroad that will have one winner, the very extreme and violent jihadists we all can claim as our true enemy. What a pacifist. What a loser this man is. The right thing for everyone is to rub Obama's nose into this mess. Obama created it. Obama owns it. He continues to reinforce his growing image of incompetence, inexperience, and condescension. Did you hear this? What President Obama has done is insupportable. He is not supportable. This is a big chess game, and we are losing. And I will conclude that if the Republicans do, in fact, pick this fight and do talk about the Ground Zero Mosque going into the elections, they will win even bigger margins, and the Republicans will take over the House. The Senate is in play, but not without this big fight. This idiot liberal writer for the Time magazine is 100% wrong. And by the way, Obama said it best. He said, if you want to go forward, you press D on a car, on a transmission. If you want to go in reverse, you put an R. You put the car into R. Well, you see, I want to reverse this change. It's not working for me. I'd like to put America into R.
Savage.